So, the topic of today is the following poem. It costs nothing, but creates much. It enriches those who receive, without impoverishing those who give. It happens in a flash, and the memory of it lasts forever. None are so rich that they can get along without it, and none are so poor. None so poor but are richer for its benefits. It creates happiness in the home, fosters goodwill in a business, and is the countersign of friends. It is rest to the weary, daylight to the discouraged, sunshine to the sad, and nature's best antidote for trouble. It cannot be bought, begged, borrowed, or stolen, for it is something that is no earthly good to anybody till it is given away. If someone is too tired to give you a smile, leave one of yours, for nobody needs a smile so much as those who have none to give. I thought that was very nice. So that's a poem that someone wrote, very famous, about smiles and the importance of smiles. So I prepared a little shiur on the Torah perspective and a little bit of psychology on greeting people with a smile.
And it's primarily based on this book. I read like this whole book yesterday.
Shalom Aleichem. It's a great book. And I took some of the highlights and made a little story sheet out of it. Sounds good? Awesome. Okay, so who are some biblical characters who greet people with joy?
Avraham.
Avraham, who? Who do
The
you?
three angels.
That's right. And interestingly enough, he greets them with a lot of energy. We don't see him smile, but he's very. And then what comes out of that? He has a kid. And what's that kid's name? Yitzchak, which means?
Laughter.
Interesting, right? So his smiles leads to more smiles. To lots of smiles. Givat, right? That's a great source. What else? Who else smiles in the Torah? Greets people with joy. Boaz. He says, he puts God's name. He greets people with God's name. And by the way, when we say Shalom Aleichem, we use it kind of as like a greeting, like, what's up? But really, what does it mean, Shalom Aleichem? God should be upon you. Hashem's name is Shalom. So the Pele Yoetz writes that when we wish someone a Shalom Aleichem, we're praying that God's name should be upon them. Isn't that sweet? So Boaz does that. He actually uses God's name. And originally, in the olden days, we actually were supposed to, Shulchan Aruch Reisis, we're supposed to greet people with God's name. Now we don't do it. We're afraid. But greeting people with joy is a big thing.
How about David? He was very dancing and carrying on the songs. I'm sure he didn't do that with
There's a lot of joy there.
Nachon.
And he writes, Bakesh Shalom Bratfehu in Tehillim, which means search after peace. Search with joy. So yeah, David Malach's a good source. And I like that.
Just imagine smiling.
Yeah, he's a smiley guy probably. Makes sense. Yitro, perhaps, and Moshe. So maybe there's a lot of possibles. But so I found a few more sources in the Torah. So in the bracha which Yaakov Avinu gives to his son Yehuda, in Perek Mentes, it says, Yoducha, ata, yodcha, bof, evacha, you're known, chachilichei enayim yayin, levin shinayim mechalav. Your eyes are darker than wine, but your teeth are whiter than milk. He had a very nice, he had a great smile, he had a great dentist. Yeah? So the Gemara has what to say about this. The Gemara in Ketubah says, it's better to give someone a smile than it is to give them milk. Don't to the sun of teeth, but whitening of the teeth. When you give someone white teeth, i.e. smile, it's better than giving them even milk. Now, they liked giving people milk, to be clear. They were not vegans. Milk was good. And even better than milk, which was delicious, is smiles. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. So why? Why is a smile better than even milk?
Because because it uplifts your spirit while the other one feeds your body.
Yes.
So the one is spiritual food, the other one is bodily food.
Exactly.
Yeah. Avraham also brings out food to his guests. He doesn't only greet them warmly.
That's true.
I think you need both.
You gotta have both. You gotta have the mixture of both. That's for sure. You gotta have them both. But smiles. You know, if you go to a Shabbos meal and the Baal Bais doesn't give you any attention and looks at you gruffly, it could be the best food in the world. But it's not a very nice experience, at least not for me. So that's what this is saying. Gotta greet people with smiles. That makes a big difference.
Even if somebody asks you for tzedakah and you don't have any, at least look them in the eyes and smile.
Nachon.
So
it makes a big difference, and they probably enjoy the experience much better if you give them a half shekel with a smile. I've seen this a million times, and you give them 5 shekel, but like, get out of here.
Yeah, because we tend to, especially if we don't have any money on us, to not look them in their eyes because we feel a little bit
guilty,
ashamed, or something like that. So we don't know how to handle the situation.
Nachon.
And so that fact that we don't recognize them is actually worse than, so not giving them anything, not spiritual or physical food. We're not giving them either. At least give them the one.
Nachon, beautiful. The altar of Slobodka gave a parable, which is kind of the obvious thing the Gemara is saying. He says, imagine, right after shul, right after davening, someone comes up and he offers you a big cup of milk, which is very exciting back then. Nowadays, I would say, let's say someone comes to you with delicious brewing coffee, right?
Yes, okay.
For me, like soy milk, kebab. And right after davening, Kofix comes and gives you. So you'd be very happy with that person. But even better than that is to give someone a smile.
Because you feel welcome, you feel accepted. You kind of boost you a bit, you know. You feel like.
And it's something we all know, but like so little people actually do it. Actually go over to someone and give them
That acceptance, especially if you're new in a place and you just walked in and nobody's really looking at you, you feel like,
what's going on?
I belong, you know. What, you know, I shouldn't have come.
Right.
What am I doing? I don't know anybody. But here comes this one guy, and it's just like the smile, and you feel like, oh, okay. You know?
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
It's that feeling. So it's just human.
You know when I feel that the most? I play Frisbee on Tuesday nights, and there's new guys. So there's that awkward moment where like everyone's lining up, and you're like, you're on this guy, you're on this guy. And then there's like that one nice guy that'll come over and be like, hey, where are you from? What's going on? Like,
yeah,
nice. Jokes around. And sometimes nobody does it. It's really awkward. But a lot of times people do it. They take the time to like break the ice. And it's important. So Maisa, Rav Avram Grodzinski, was a big tzaddik. He used to spend hours practicing in front of a mirror to make sure that he was smiling always. And it's told about him. I read an amazing story that even in the Holocaust, he was always smiling. And people asked him, what are you so happy about? He said, honestly, I'm not so happy. I'm just smiling to cheer other people up.
Other people. Wow.
Isn't that amazing, Maisa?
That's something.
Amazing story, right?
Because he had nothing else to give.
Yeah. So he's told he passed away in the Holocaust. But that's an incredible story. Okay. So I wanted to ask, how many mitzvahs? So the Chafetz Chaim does this in his book. You know, he has a game. How many averos do we do when we say Lashon Hara? So how many mitzvahs can we think of by greeting someone with a smile? Let's see how much we can get to.
First, you're loving your neighbor as yourself, because you would like to be smiled at as well, so if you're smiling, so I think that's one of the...
Excellent. So for sure, the first one that comes to my mind, V'afi l'recha kamocha, as Rosh Shlomo says, you know, love the one you're with right now. Don't be contemplating right now how I'm going to go save the world. Whoever you're with right now, give them a smile. Which is something I struggle with, because I'm very goal-oriented. So it's hard for me to be present. Sometimes I'm at like a simcha, or I'm going to be like planning all shiduchim and all the mitzvahs I'm going to do tomorrow. But like, I'm sitting next to someone right now. Hint, hint. Stop. Just yes, yeah. You have a heter. I give you permission.
To cut off and to focus. And
to give them a smile, like proper. So for sure, Rav Dorech Lemoko is a great example. Great, great. For sure, you're doing that mitzvah. What else? That's Vayikra Yotet Yotchet, by the way. What other possible mitzvahs might I be accomplishing by greeting someone with a smile?
Tell him I'm looking.
Okay. Because how do we know that you're in the Tell him I'm looking by smiling?
Because I think you're able to sense, in the way that you'd see nature, a beautiful sight, and like smile because you know, like, this is Hashem's creation, maybe. By smiling at someone, you're showing them how holy they are.
Yeah, I want to add to that.
I agree, you
that
are.
That person
could showing that they're valued.
And feel unwelcome, and by you smiling, you'd say by himself, Baruch Hashem, somebody's acknowledging me.
Right.
So he is praising Hashem.
Mm-hmm. It will lead you towards recognition. I have a good friend, Eitan. And often, he instead of saying, what's up, he would say, I acknowledge you. You exist. That's his, what's up. He's a very funny guy. What up, Eitan? Shout out. Anyways, if I could send this shit to Eitan later. But it's a very good point. You're acknowledging someone's presence. So often in life, especially if you're from New York, you just go through life and you don't really acknowledge other people's presence. You just... Just joking. New Yorkers also have hearts, but sometimes in New York the vibe is like walk past as many people as possible and don't make eye contact. So, no, acknowledge that they exist. And then, in a way, that's showing that they're B'Tzelem Elokim. So I was actually thinking it's a different way of being in the image of God, which is that Hashem Himself smiles down upon us. We say this every day, Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yikunecha, God shine your face upon us. In the Birchat Kohanim, Parshat Naso. So God's smiling on us, and when we smile, we're smiling back at a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
So we are created in His image, so we betray.
We're shining His light on someone else, exactly. So we're emulating God. Awesome. So that might be mitzvah number two. Good. What about if you're smiling at someone who is not religious or not Jewish? What mitzvah do we fulfill then?
Kiddush Hashem.
Kiddush Hashem, Kiddushta. Right? Nikdashti Ptok Bnei Yisrael. Kiddush Hashem.
If you cause him to be Gambol Tshuva, imagine that all the mitzvahs
that
followed due to that, and you'll get some.
That one smile. And there are many stories like that about that one smile that changed everything. We'll read a little bit. One more. Benefit of on a Torah level of smiling at someone, greeting someone with joy, is it says in Torah, those who you bless will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. So really what we explained before is when I say Shalom Aleichem on someone, I'm blessing them. I'm not greeting them, I'm giving them a prayer that God should be upon you. That's Shalom Aleichem. Please Hashem, let there be peace upon this person. So I'm blessing them. Then it's chutz of me blessing them. Hashem will bless me. Because those who you bless will be blessed. So if I'm blessing you, God's going to bless me. You get it? Because you're a Jew. So I'm going to bring blessing upon myself by.
So it works by. It jumps back.
So it has a personal advantage. And we'll talk more about that in terms of psychological advantages of blessings, of smiles. Okay, that's on a biblical level. You could say other things also. It helps us enjoy life. It helps us keep our body healthy. It helps us be in emunah and bitachon. Smiling, we're showing ourselves that we really trust God. All of these, I think, are mitzvahs that we fulfill or that we can fulfill when we simply greet someone with a smile.
It releases
Nachon, so yeah,
that's physical.
Yeah, on a physical level, it releases stress, and it will. They say that I don't know exactly they got the study from, but it can give you more happiness than 200 pieces of chocolate or something like that. Yeah, I don't know what exactly. They're, what type of... Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty intense. You know that they found that children smile an average of 400 times a day, and regular people, adults smile 20 times a day.
20
times. That's it. So no wonder children are more fun because they smile. And so if you want to instantly make yourself a more childlike, lovable person, then you smile. So, but we'll get back to the psychological benefits in a moment. I wanted to just go to the Mishnah. So we talked about the Torah sources. What is the Mishnah, the famous Mishnaic source, that we should greet people with a smile or with a pleasant countenance? It's interestingly enough, not the first guy who I would have expected to be giving me the smile drasha. It's Shammai. Now, Shammai, we generally think of him as a strict guy, right? Right? You think Hillel will be the smiler. There is a story with Hillel always being patient. But Shammai says, Aseh Torat Chakeva. In Pirkei Avos, Perk Bet Aleph, Mishnah Tesvav 15. Aseh Torat Chakeva. Make your Torah set. Makes sense, Shammai. Learn. And more Ma'at Vaser Be. Say a little bit and do a lot.
Okay.
He's a doer. And then he says, Vebi Mekabel Lek Olam B'Sefer Panim Yafot. Every person, you should greet them with a smile, with a nice face. Truth is, he doesn't say you need to greet them with a smile, but he does say you should have a nice face, which is good. Sometimes you're not in the mood to smile, but at least you can be pleasant. Put on a pleasant face. So even Shammai, not even, but Shammai was a pleasant guy. He doesn't say, you know, be gruff to someone. Right? So I think that's fascinating. In fact, the Rambam Paskin said, a Talmud Chacham, in order to be a Talmud Chacham, you got to greet everyone with a pleasant face. Never scream at people. So we have some Mishnaic sources for this idea of greeting people. In fact, in the Gemara in Brachos, Vav Amibet, Gemara goes as far as to say, Amar Rav Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna. You see your friend coming and you know that your friend's going to say hello, you should go first and greet him with peace. Search after peace. If you greet someone and he didn't return back to you peace, he's a thief. Yeah, so why is that? Why is he a thief? Why is he a thief if I greet Max with, hey, what's up, man? And Max is like, hmm.
I guess you're robbing that person of the confidence they could have derived from your smile back.
Yeah, or in the joy. You kind of owe them.
Stealing my joy, definitely. I could feel if I'm greeting somebody on the road, they don't greet back. I feel like,
yeah,
down.
Yeah,
I do. You know, I less nowadays because I don't greet them anymore. But you know,
it brings you down
because I don't like to be
ignored.
Put down each time. You know,
yeah.
Greet and
yep,
all
exactly.
Smiley face and then. So yeah, so Robert, sure.
So Rav Chelbo and you are on the same page. Now, I read an interesting analysis. Someone was saying that when you smile at someone, you are basically telling them that you want to reveal an inside part of you. You're not just going to keep it like this, but your teeth are like your insides. And you're willing to reveal a part of yourself and be vulnerable and connect to it. Smiling is vulnerable in a way.
And you're opening yourself up to confidence. You're exposing, yeah. not just your teeth, you're exposing something.
Part of you. Something. In fact, when you're exposed to a smile, it's very hard to not smile yourself. It is contagious. It's hard to frown when someone smiles at you. Yeah, it's like a good trick. It's good.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Now, Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, gave a little Musar. He said that people during the 10 days of tshuva, sometimes they're so serious, and they forget to smile at people. And I would say sometimes the same thing happens in 3 weeks. People are so down, you forget to smile at people. But it's a mistake. Because you always have to smile at people. even if I'm not in the best mood, I have to try my best to give people a pleasant countenance. Make sense? Okay, now a few psychological studies about the advantages of smiling. We already mentioned a few. So one, like we said, it helps your health in a big way. You have much less stress when you're smiling. Now, of course, a genuine smile will cause you much more than a fake smile. But even a fake smile can have an effect on tricking your emotions into thinking that you're in a better mood. It will still release some chemicals. So they suggest, next time you're at like a traffic, you're waiting for the light to turn red, it's really hot, smile. Just smile at yourself. And watch as your stress level goes down. Good piece of advice.
Also, you use the less muscles to smile than to frown, especially on your forehead. You're aging, it's actually better for that as well.
So that's actually an interesting study they did. They took baseball cards and they analyzed them, and they said, these are the people who smile, and these are the people who don't smile. And then they looked at their life later from these baseball cards from the 50s. And they found that the people who were smiling lived 7 years longer than the people who didn't smile.
Now that's
smile. Yeah, right? You probably could argue that the reason, you could say, well, maybe it's the people who were happier smiled, and that's why they lived longer.
Yeah, well, but they go hand in hand. Smiling and being happy goes hand in hand. You're not going
to... Nachon. Now, we all know when people around us are smiling, so we also generally, it's contagious. And the Chazon Ish used to say that our mouth is like a public domain. So like, our face is a public domain, so like what we put out into the world, that's what we're giving or taking from the world.
It's like a notice board. Yep.
Smiling also makes us look much more attractive to people, not just to women, to all people. When you're smiling, I'll be honest, whenever I see pictures of people and they're not smiling, I ask myself, why? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there's a big difference between a fake smile and a real smile, but you look much better and much more attractive towards people when you are smiling. This is, many studies have shown this, including Swansea University in England, when people, you know, judge people who are wearing like makeup or this or even thin, smiling made a huge difference in terms of that. And it, finally, smiling actually makes us see the world better. They had people who were smiling, and then they had people who weren't smiling, and then they had to rate different comedies and see how good of a mood they are, how much they want to do kindness, for example. And the people who you're even doing like a fake smile were much more likely to want to do good. And this is called the facial feedback hypothesis, which actually Charles Darwin talked about, that our mood is affected through our facial expressions. Okay. Last two parts of this little mini chaburish here. Sounds good? So, what about goyim? Should we smile at goyim, or should we give them a mean, rough, gruff look?
Smile. Unless they're one vote for smile. Really evil.
Smile unless they're evil, okay?
Depends on if you want anti-Semitism to go up or down.
Right. So next we have a source. Amar Alav Araban Yochanan. It says in Moran Brachot Taf Yudayin Ben Zakai Shelo Ikdimu Adam Shalom Meolam Vafilu Goy Bashuk. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakai, who by the way I believe was the same Rabbi Yochanan we talked about earlier about the smiles of Yehuda, just made that connection. Cool. Says that no one ever beat him to a greeting. And even a guy in the market, he would always greet them with a smile. So we have a Tana who says you should always greet people with a smile.
Sure, Bava smiled the truth a few times.
Nachon. Good things came out of that. And there's an amazing story about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. You guys heard of the story of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is a big rabbi, lived in Muncie, a gadol. And he's walking down the street, and the mother superior of the convent walks up and starts schmoozing with him. And the students of him are like, Rebbe, what's going on? So he says, well, she had a question. She wanted to ask, why is it that all the students, when the nuns are walking down the block, they look the other way? And you greet me with a smile every morning. She doesn't understand why, what's going on.
The students are not in that, yeah.
So Yaakov didn't have a good answer. But he himself would always greet them with a smile. These non-Jewish nuns. It's a beautiful story.
Wow.
Okay, we're going to close with two stories, maybe three, depending on your koach. Okay. I got them, like I said, they're famous stories. They were told to me by my rabbis when I was like 12. And I shall now pass on the torch and tell you this Gevaldika stories. So this one's a little sad, but it's a good one nonetheless. A little intense, not sad. Rav Yaakov, Rav Shmuel Shapiro was the Rav in Poland before World War II. And he used to take a long walk every day. He was a very happy, nice, warm man. And every day, he would pass a certain farm, a certain non-Jewish man named Mr. Muller. And every day, he would say, good morning, Mr. Muller. And at first, Mr. Muller would kind of look away. But eventually, Mr. Muller would kind of wave his hat and smile a little bit. He got used to this. All this came to an abrupt end when the Blitzkrieg conquest of Poland erupted. And Rav Shapiro and his family found themselves being shifted from camp to camp. And eventually, he basically had no strength left. He gets off of the cattle car, and he's in Auschwitz. And he's very weak. And he sees those who go to the left, they're finished. And those who go to the right, they'll continue on. And he saw that logically, there's no way for him to make it to the right. He was just too weak. He did not look fit. And he saw that slowly, there's two people, one person, it's him and the executor, the person who's going to decide his fate. Mm-hmm. He glanced at the man's face. Their eyes meet. Suddenly, Rav Shapiro took a step forward and said, good morning, Mr. Muller. The officer's steely eyes opened wide for a split moment. Then he said, good morning, Rabbi, and waved him to the right.
Wow.
Rav Shapiro survived the war to tell the story.
Yeah.
Gevaldik a story, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, right? Goosebumps. Goosebumps,
man. That's in that book.
It's in that book, but I remember my... It's from, I don't know where the first part... I don't know. It's in these miracle story books that they tell you in camp. Speaking of which, one more, I think. This one might even be more powerful, if possible. It's by Rav Pesach Kron's book, The Reflections of the Maggid, about the power of a good morning. You can flip it. It goes the other way, if you want. In Argentina, there was a ritual slaughter with several buildings. And the owner, Izzy Nachmal, was a workaholic. He was the first one every morning and the last one out every evening. He watched everything in his company, Ultimate Meats, and made sure he knew every worker. The guard at the freight gate's name was Domingo. And when Izzy left in the evening, Domingo could go home. Domingo was a security guard. One evening, Izzy was leaving and he called out to the guard, good night, Domingo, you can lock up and go. Mm-hmm. No, Domingo called back, not everyone has left yet. What are you talking about, Izzy said, everyone left two hours ago. It's not so, Domingo said. One of the shochtim, Rabbi Berkowitz, hasn't left yet. But he goes home every day with the other shochtim. Maybe you just didn't see him, Izzy said. Believe me, I'm positive, he didn't leave yet, the guard insisted. We better go look for him. Izzy knew that Domingo was reliable and conscientious. He decided not to argue, but instead got out of his car and rushed back to the office building with Domingo. They searched the dressing room, thinking that perhaps Rabbi Berkowitz had fainted and was debilitated. He wasn't there. They ran to where the animals were slaughtered, but he wasn't there either. They search the truck dock, the packing house, going from room to room. Finally, they came to the huge walk-in refrigeration room, where the large slabs of meat were kept frozen. They opened the door, and to their shock and horror, they saw Rabbi Berkowitz rolling on the floor, trying desperately to keep himself warm. They ran over to him, lifted him off the floor, and helped him out of the refrigerated room, past the thick, heavy wooden door that had locked behind him. They wrapped blankets around him and made sure he was warm and comfortable. Izzy Nachmal was incredulous. Domingo, how did you know Rabbi Berkowitz hadn't left? There are over 200 workers here every day. Don't tell me you know the comings and goings of every one of them. The guard's answer is worth remembering. Every morning when that rabbi comes in, he greets me and says hello. He makes me feel like a person. And every single night when he leaves, he tells me, have a pleasant evening. He never misses a night. And to tell you the truth, I wait for his kind words. Dozens and dozens of workers pass me every day, morning and night, and they don't say a word to me. To them, I am a nothing. To him, I'm a somebody. I knew he came in this morning, and I was sure he hadn't left yet, because I was waiting for his friendly goodbye for that evening. Gefalt.
Right? A smile saved his life.
So it turns out it saved his life, but it's going to save our lives. Every day we remind ourselves, right, in our first thing we do, we have to make a kamocha, commit ourselves to greet people with a smile. As much as possible, whenever we're walking down the street, greet people with a smile, just keep reminding ourselves of that. We'll light up our lives, light up the world, and bring the Mashiach. Umen, umen, umen. Chaim.